What this means is you do not have a covenant with God. You don't have a covenant. Jesus has a covenant. See, he had a covenant in the Old Testament with Noah, with Moses, with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. And you read about it, and the problem with the covenant is the covenant's only good if the rules of the covenant are kept. So you have a divine, perfect God having a covenant with a natural, carnal man. God's perfect. He never breaks his covenant. But man is imperfect. And the thing with a covenant is it's every, even the smallest law being broken breaks the whole covenant. So it's not just the big breaking of the covenant. It's the littlest things that break the covenant. Makes it all null and void. It's no good. So you can be great in every area, but you miss one little line, one little jot, one little tittle, you miss it, the covenant's broken. God had a covenant with man, with Noah, with Moses, with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, with all the men in the Old Testament, and man continually broke their covenant. They continually failed over and over again. But finally on this earth, a man was born with the nature of God. He lived 33 and a half years and never sinned one time. Lived his whole life and never broke the covenant. God finally had a man who never broke the covenant. God, through Jesus, was able to complete the covenant between God and man. Then Jesus became the Lamb of God and sealed that covenant for all of eternity with his blood. And then he became the high priest and carried the blood to the heavens and sealed it in heaven once and for all of eternity. God has a covenant between God and man. And that covenant is sealed, never able to be broken again. You are born again because of that covenant. But you do not have a covenant. I've heard so many preaching through the years. I tell Tim all the time, we don't preach from experience, but we can learn from experience. And I think I've learned from experience more of what doesn't work and what not is God than what is God. I've heard a preach, you can come to church for 20 years and give your tithe and offering today, this Sunday. But if you leave in your car and have a bad thought, and die in a car wreck before you can repent, you're going to go to hell. Man, my whole young Christian life, I was a repenter. I repented and pleaded the blood morning, night, many times throughout the day, because I was afraid that if I die, I'm going to hell. I pray, God, please return on a Sunday around 1 o'clock, because there's a better chance that I'm behaved and repented and cleaned on a Sunday than on maybe a Friday. So please come back on a Sunday, God. You do not have a covenant. That's why you are able to struggle in an area and not be afraid that the covenant is broken, you've been cast away. That's why you can have an area in your life that you're fighting with, struggling with. Usually by the time you're 30, you figured out your areas that you struggle with. You don't usually bring new areas into your life after 30. And it's usually the same areas that you're struggling with. Insecurities, fears, wrong thinking, sins, desires, selfishness, pride. We all have a whole list. At your heart, you have to know, I cannot break my covenant with God. I can't break it. I cannot break my covenant with God. I'll show you another verse out of Hebrews. Hebrews 13. verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, it's impossible for God to leave you. He can never leave you or forsake you. But what if I do this? I'm not going to leave you. What if I do that? I'm not going to leave you. What if I do it twice? Three times? Not going to leave you. It's impossible for him to leave you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now you can leave him. You play enough with sin, eventually you can walk away from God. But what I want to address and get rid of today is a fear that says that I'm not good enough for God. Here you are trying to seek God, pressing into him. I'm afraid that if I fail, he'll leave me. I'm afraid if I fail, I'll break the covenant. You do not have a covenant. Jesus had a covenant and has a covenant with God the Father, and it is sealed once and for all, complete. You have a birth certificate. You don't have a covenant. It is because of that covenant that you were able to be born again. You now have the nature of God in you. What this really should help you with is knowing that while you're imperfect and while you're struggling in an area, that if you were to fail, you don't have to be afraid that God's going to kick you out. I have children. I got two little creatures. Teenagers now, that should tell you a lot. And there's been times where my son has maybe not quite obeyed perfectly and has had to be disciplined and corrected. Well, even in his knowingly state of correction, he's never questioned one time. Oh, I really messed up. Dad, can I have some food? Will you feed me today? He's never questioned my fathering, even in his being disciplined. He's never questioned that I'm still his father. I'm still going to provide for him and protect him. I'm still going to love him. Can you imagine there's some Christians that think it's like this, you know, son, go clean your room. Okay. Do you clean your room? I cleaned it. And every parent knows when you go check a teenage boy to see how well they clean the room, you find out this wasn't to my standards. This is your standards. That's it. Get out of my house. Pack your stuff and get out. You're no longer my son. Get out. You're no longer my son. I'm not going to feed you. I'm not going to call you Taylor anymore. Get out. You broke the rule. Your bed should be folded this way, not that way. I'm done with you. Yeah, that's how many Christians live with their relationship with God. Always afraid they're not good enough. See, there's preaching that speaks to that brokenness, that fear. You need to give. I've heard preaching saying all the way from, if you miss Sunday, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, if you don't give your tithe, you're going to hell. If you don't attend my church, you're going to hell. I mean, I've heard all that stuff preached. I'm sure you've heard some of it as well. What a way to control people. What a shame. You are born of God. You have his righteousness in you already. That means that if you did really good today, you showed up in church on time, you gave in the offering, you worshiped, you lifted your hands, you shared the gospel with the girl at Starbucks, and you did really good today. Do you know that doesn't make you more righteous? You didn't add one thing. Your good works didn't add one thing to your righteousness. Because if you want to add to your righteousness, you have to own it. And trust me, you don't want to own your righteousness. You want to receive it. Because if you have to earn it, you have to be perfect as Jesus was perfect. And if you have one bad moment, one bad thought, one bad feeling, You come into church and you're 1 minute late, especially if you're 5 minutes late and you're carrying a coffee cup. And you come into church, your righteousness is no good. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. We don't want what we deserve. But it's ingrained in much of our foundation, and many of us, and the Holy Ghost, if you've been praying, that's what he's working out of you, that garbage. The idea that you have a covenant with God, that you have to earn it, you have to earn favor, you have to earn standing. Yes, it is true. If you're a good steward of what God's given to you, he will trust you with more. But that's not earned, that's proved. Earned means what gives me a right to believe. And when I started to pray in tongues, all of a sudden I had so much motivation to be busy for God, leave. It left me to the point that you couldn't talk me into it. That was crazy. It used to be you can preach me into doing all kinds of things. How many would like God to bless you? Well, if you lend to the poor, he'll bless you. He'll give you back to you. So we're going to feed the poor. You should do that. And we know we should do that, but the way they got me to do it was preaching that it would give me favor with God. I can earn something with God. And when I was telling that friend about the pastor's wife who died of cancer, I said, listen, when you're a really good woman, you give your life to God. You focus your time on serving people. You're holy. When you approach God for a miracle, you can try to offer him your good works. Say, look at all I've done, God. Look at this. I prayed. I fasted. I've done these things. So now you could heal me. I said, the problem is if you try that, you're never going to be good enough. The reason a drunk could come in and walk up and get healed is because he knows the only way I'm receiving is by the mercy of God. I got nothing good to offer God. So if he's going to heal me, it's going to be because he loves me, not because I have earned it. Misunderstanding righteousness and living in covenant is more dangerous for those who are doing good than those who are doing bad. Because if you have good works, you may try to use them as an offering to God. Pastor David always say, God doesn't fellowship with your hours of praying in tongues. It's not your hours. God, I did 5 hours of prayer. I'm giving you my 5 hours as an offering. Now you can give me something in return. Look, I'm worthy. I did it. No, it's the change that comes from that prayer time. See, the reason we pray then is not to get God to love you more. It's not to make yourself more righteous. The reason we fast, the reason we pray, the reason we do things is not to earn his love, it's because we have his love. Well, why would I do things if I don't get anything out of it? Why would I do things? This is a preacher talking. How do I get people to do stuff if I can't motivate them? That's my whistle for like, this could be trouble for people. How do I get a group of people to serve God if they don't need anything from service? If it's not to be used of God, it's not to be filled them with purpose. If I can't sell purpose to them, if I can't use control, manipulate, motivate. This has happened to you. You prayed in tongues and all of a sudden people around you who used to be leaders started to act uncomfortable around you. And you wondered what you did wrong. Well, what happened was the things they used to work to make you follow disappeared. Now I can no longer motivate you out of fear, out of blessings, out of opportunity. I can no longer talk you in and seal you in to being a helper, a giver, a servant in the church. The things that I use to get you to listen are gone. Now I have to walk beside you instead of walk in front of you. And that's what a true pastor is supposed to do. A true pastor is supposed to force you to go into God so you'll grow up in God. And then eventually God will tell you what to do. Because a pastor is not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And so I want you to grow up so that you and I can walk beside each other. Where I'm not telling you what to do, God's telling you what to do. That means I don't have to pay you to do it. Let me get a few zingers in while I'm at it. Maybe you're waiting. I'm waiting for someone to tell me what to do, where I fit in. See, that's not family. That's covenant thinking. I'm looking for some man to open the door for me so I can join in. No, but if God's telling you to do it, you don't need no man to tell you what to do or pay you to do it. We have a problem over here in the church. It needs to be fixed. I need someone to give me money to go fix it. How about God told me to go do something? I'm responsible to find the funds to make it happen. So much of us in the church world are trapped in this covenant thinking. It's crept in so much. So it's made the church handicap where the devil's not afraid of us. It made us ruled by men, men ruling over men, looking for men for promotion, provision, direction. Or if we're going to walk in revival, that means we got to walk side by side. Each of us mature, hearing God, meaning that I love you because I love you, not because what you do for me. Meaning that I'm walking beside you. I'm here to be an encourager to you. You're here to be an encourager to me. But where we find our strength is from God. I'll close with the one vision that I had. It helped me so much because I had been trained how to manipulate people without realizing it, how to gather people and keep them happy, how to keep them motivated, feed them purpose, and build a big church while we do it. And the vision was a man standing there. He was standing on a cement form for a house, already laid out. Foundation was already laid. All the material and tools were neatly stacked behind him. And the Lord said, build me a house. And the man said, okay. And someone walked by and said, hey, you. We're going to build the Lord a house. Would you like to be involved with the Lord's work? Come here, let me tell you. I need this done. I need the framework done. I need this done. And there's the tool. And then someone else walked by. Hey, miss. Yeah. We're building the Lord a house. Would you like to be a blessing and be blessed and help build the Lord a house? She said, yeah. And he gave her instruction and told her what to do. And eventually he'd gathered a whole group of people and they built this beautiful house with that man instructing everyone what to do. This was all a vision for me. And then in the vision, it reset. They were all standing there at this beautiful house they built, and I heard a voice from heaven say, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborer builds it in vain. And then the vision reset. The man was standing there, and the Lord said, build me a house. This time, he just stood there. He just stood there. And eventually someone walked up to him and said, hey, I'm a framer. I frame walls. It's what I do. I love to do it. It's what I'm called to do. And God told me to come and help you. So the man said, go ahead. He didn't give him instructions. That person who came was doing what they were meant to do, what they loved to do. They just did it. Another person walked up and said, hey, I'm a plumber. I love the smell of glue and pipes being glued together. And God told me to come and help here. He said, go, okay. And an electrician came. Men and women came being directed by God. Each person had to hear God on their own and do what they were called to do on their own. And eventually this beautiful house was built. And the Lord said to me, the first part of the vision was how the church today operates. The second part is how I want it to operate. Well, that's going to require us to grow up together. Meaning that you are responsible to hear God and do what he tells you to do without waiting for someone to tell you what to do. Well, they have all these needs. No one told me about it. What God is waiting for in revival isn't for him. He's waiting for us to grow up. What are we going to do if we have 1,000 people show up? You understand, even if we get them healed, there's still going to be a mess. There's still going to be broken people. They're going to come and get healed. They'll bring their children and get healed. They'll have broken marriages and broken bank accounts and wrong ideas and thinking about God. Well, we don't want to have someone come and get healed and then one person grab and say, let me teach you why God healed you. God healed you because he loves you. But if you want to keep that healing, you need to give me an offering. That stuff happens. We need a group that grows up together, that knows God the same. And our motivation to serve God is not to get something back from God. Yes, it's true. If you're a good steward, he'll trust you with more. Yes, it's true. When you get to heaven, you'll get rewarded for what you did in the name of God and serving God. I believe that reward isn't with what you did by your choice. It's what you obeyed him in doing. I believe there'll be a lot of people get to heaven and say, oh, I'm so excited. Here's my good works. Here's what I did. And they'll watch it burn up, turn to ash. What is this I gave all this time? Yeah, but I didn't tell you to do that. But the preacher said, if I gave to the poor, I didn't tell you to do that. But the preacher said, if I were to give and volunteer, see, there's a whole language of purpose that's covenant built, that I will give you opportunity to serve God and you will feel purposeful. See, that's a what they call money exchange, something to exchange with God. God, look at what I did to earn your love. Look at what I did to earn the right for you to love me, for you not to reject me. Purpose is an old covenant exchange rate, and a preacher can sell it to you. How would you like to help in this area? How would you like to help in that area? And what I'm selling you is I'm going to give you something called purpose, a coin. And you can take that coin and give it to God, and he'll give you love. He'll give you right standing with him. But when you find out through the Spirit that you don't earn anything, it's all received by faith. Jesus paid in full. You have nothing. I have nothing. Why do I serve God then? Why would I give money? Why would I serve God if I'm not going to gain something to give God relationship? If I can't earn righteousness, why do those things? That's called maturity. Why would you do something for God? Because he asked you to. And you love him. I'm a little more vocal on some things and I get in trouble sometimes. I always think, man, they got these young kids when they win a football team, a football game, college student, 21 years old, and they interview him, and he says everything exactly right. You know, yeah, I just want to thank my team as a team effort and thank the coach and the other team did good. It's like, wow, he's been trained how to talk. I was never trained how to talk, so I get in trouble all the time. But why do I serve and give my life? There's people who've come to this church, and it's been in every church I've been in, who take a position of leadership in the sense of they willingly are willing to pronounce or display that they are a leader, that they are, God sent them here, we're a leader in the church, and they're willing to preach or sing or prophesy. But when they don't get their way, I watch them leave. And my problem with that is you're teaching the younger generation how to be a little sissy Christian. If you're going to call yourself a leader, you got to grow up. That means that you're here because God put you here. I'm not here to get anything. I'm not here to get promotion. I'm not here to get ministry. I'm not here to get used. I'm here because God put me here. Well, what does he have you doing? Well, that's between you and God. What is he telling you to do? Or what is he telling you not to do? That's up to him. Do you know that he owns your life? We would agree with that, right? That means if he owns your life, what if he says to you, you know what, I just want you to sit right there for the next 30 years and not do anything. That's his right. Why are you squirming trying to get him to give you something? Usually it's because you're trying to offer your outward man a purpose because you're still in covenant thinking that I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough. But when you're a child of God, understand, I have a right because I am his child. I can struggle and never fear that he has abandoned me or I've broken the covenant because I am righteousness of Christ because of the nature that he gave me. You do not have a covenant. One of the biggest things that pull people out of the prayer message is the fight to offer their natural man purpose. You've heard people come and tell you, what are you doing just sitting there praying? I've heard people come to me and say, you guys focus too much on doctrine. It's too much on prayer. We're supposed to win the world. Win the world with what? Win the world with what? Another message? Another Jesus loves you? There's enough ministers out there doing that. We don't need another one. We need someone to go into God and bring out the power of God to raise the dead, to heal the sick, open the blind eyes. Well, how long is that going to take? It doesn't matter how long it takes. That's the gospel. Let's keep pressing in. But in all that you do, it's because you are righteous, not to earn righteousness, not to gain righteousness. What gives you right standing with God is that you have the nature of Christ in you. You will never be more righteous than you are today. If you're struggling with something, don't be afraid of God. Because what makes you right and gives you the ability to go into his presence is not your perfection. It's that you're righteous in him. Yes, he will discipline you. Yes, he will correct you. And yes, he will sometimes reward you and spank you in the bottom. Sometimes he'll do all of that like a good father does. But he'll never abandon you. God, I didn't get my prayer time. I remember Pastor Dave, someone would say, I was going to fast for 3 days. It only lasted for 3 hours. I feel so ashamed. He say, you fasted for 3 hours. Good job. Those things that we do, the prayer time, the worship, they're not to gain righteousness. They're because you're righteous. You are mortifying the outward man and building up the new man. And you'll find in this process that there is something specific that God has for you. That's only going to happen when you grow up and hear God. Many Christians are trying to hear God so bad, they spend all the time trying to hear God, and he's telling them the same thing. Grow up. I can take any child, 10-year-old child. Mom, tell me what to do. Dad, tell me what to do. I'm only going to give you what to do at your age limit. Can I go fly the jet airplane? Can I take the car for a ride? No. We have so many Christians begging God to tell them to do things they're not mature enough to do yet. It's okay to try to hear God. That's important. But don't be upset when all he tells you to do is grow up. Go spend time and pray. Go spend time in worship. You do not have a covenant with God. Jesus does. And because of that covenant, you have a birth certificate. God will never leave you nor forsake you. On your good days, on your bad days, you should feel the same. He loves me. Well, did you pray? No. Do you know that if you never pray in tongues, you never give a penny to the gospel, you never share the gospel to one person, and you live your life, you're just as righteous as a guy who laid his life and was martyred. You're just as righteous. You're just as righteous. Yeah, but this guy, He didn't pray like I prayed. He didn't fast. Aren't you going to get upset when you get to heaven? You fasted all these days. You worship. I spent hours in worshiping. I used to get so jealous. I am trying to close, I promise. We had one couple girls that came from Africa that were part of the ministry, and we traveled together at one time, and I remember being so jealous of them because we would pull up at the hotel because we were all speaking, or we weren't speaking, we were with the speaker, but we're all part of a team, and I'd have to carry all the luggage because they were girls, and they had no problem being girls and letting the guy do all the work. And that was okay, but when it came time during the services, sometimes this church we were at would take up a special offering, and the special offering would always go to these two girls, and never to me. And I used to get so mad. And finally, God was trying to tell me, like, I'm teaching you by blessing them and not you, that you're trying to earn something. He was teaching me how to receive because I'm a child, not because I've earned it. And I get so jealous. And that's how religion works. The religious people get jealous of the non-religious people. I don't want you to get to heaven and get a bad report because I prayed more than they did. I fasted more than they did. I worshiped all those hours. And God, I'm no more righteous than they are. No, because those things don't make you righteous. That should be the fruit of your righteousness. The fruit of His love is that I want to give. I want to serve. I want to serve so much that I'm willing to lay my life down and no one notice it. Because everything God gave me a family. He gave me a father. He gave me eternity with Him. He gave me every promise. It was made to the seed. The promises of God are made to me through Jesus. Because of that is why I do the things I do. But it wasn't always like that. For a lot of years, I was doing those things to get righteous, to earn favor, to earn the right to be prosperous. But I am righteous. I am the righteousness of Christ because I have His nature in me. I'll never be more righteous. All these things that we do is because we love Him, because He asked us to. He's asking you to lay your life down. Here I am at the prayer center. I know Hans and I are acting like we're preaching the same message, I think, but here I am at the prayer center all these years, and I don't see the fruit. What business of that is yours? Let me talk to you like adult children. What business is it of yours how He uses you? Yeah, but this other guy, he's traveling and preaching and getting offerings and receiving invitations. God just has me sit here. What business of that is yours? Grow up. Where does God have you? You're not here because you're such a mess. Well, some of you are, but I always hate when Tim says, Pastor Dave always said this was the last stop for many preachers. I thought God sent me here because I was strong, but I found out He sent me here as my last stop to save my rear end, you know. So yeah, some of you are here because you're a mess, but you're here because He needs you here. He wants you here. He sees the value of your life doing what He's telling you to do. But all He's telling me to do is sit and pray. That's the value that He sees. That's how important your future is to Him. It's not because you're failed. It's because He sees your future as being that important. And the only way for you to get to your future is for you to grow up. Doctrine is important. Praying in tongues is important. Worship is important. Going and doing, that's okay, but that's not the... We have enough going and doing right now. God needs people to grow up. You don't have a covenant. You are His child because of the covenant that God has with Jesus. Be free and let's follow God. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You that each person here is valued by You, not as a prophet or a pastor or a teacher or an entrepreneur or an evangelist, but as Your child. And it's because we are your children through the nature of Christ. We are righteous right now. And we hold on to that righteousness. It's that righteousness that allows us to run freely into your presence while we're not perfect yet. It's that righteousness that allows us to believe, to dare to believe for provision, for healing, for salvation for our family. It's that righteousness, that gift of righteousness, that gift of love that allows us to have all of you that we want. So today we're receiving your strength, your courage, and we will never question your direction. Whatever you see fit for us to do, whether it's just to sit and pray, to learn, to grow, to travel, whatever you see fit, it's not a reflection of our worth, what we do, because we're worth the whole world to you. Our life is in your hands, and we're content to be where you want us to be without you giving us things to feel worthy. We're worthy because we are your children. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your righteousness. We thank you that you love us that much. We want to lay our life down for you. Thank you, Father. I'm just going to take a moment. There's a shame, a dirty cloth of unrighteousness that many people wear. They come to church and they're afraid that they'll be exposed because they know what they deal with. They know what they struggle with in their life. So they're constantly living a life in church and they feel like they're a fraud. That they're just lucky God hasn't exposed them or no one's saw them for who they really are. And it's a lie. It's a shame. It's a lie. It's unhealthy. It's wrong. It's built on covenant that makes you feel unworthy and that you're secretly lucky to be involved. And I feel like I want to pray before we close that shame that I used to carry, that unworthiness that I used to carry, will fall off of you. That you will know that you can run boldly into the very presence of God without fear of Him rejecting you, carrying your imperfections into the very throne of God. That's how righteous you are. That He didn't want to wait till heaven until you were perfect for Him to fellowship with you. He didn't want to wait until you're perfect on this earth for Him to fellowship with you. So He made a way through the righteousness of Christ for you to go boldly into His presence, even with all your imperfections and struggles. And I'm talking about the struggles that no one around you knows about. You don't need to be shy even with those struggles. Go boldly into His presence. He is your Father, and He loves you. So, Father, I pray right now for each of us who are struggling with that hidden little blanket of shame, of embarrassment, of imperfection, unworthiness, that those who carry that around every day, always feeling unworthy, unqualified, that's a lie of their flesh to try to control them. It's a lie of their outward man, a lie of religion trying to control them. Father, I pray right now that's broken off of them, that comes off of them, that they're free. They're free to worship, knowing they're not perfect because they are your child. They're already righteous because of who they are by nature. That those who are struggling with little secret things that they're trying to get free from, they're free to know that they're in your family. You will not reject them. You love them. And because of that, we walk into holiness. Thank you for doing that right now. I pull that off of you in Jesus' name. You're free to run into his presence. Father, we worship you and love you. I'm going to ask for 1 minute of just worshiping God from that understanding of righteousness, that you have just as much right to worship God as the holiest person you know, because you're his child. So when we lift our hands right now, and Laura can lead us in a nice song, as we sing, I want you just to enter into his presence as his child. Don't worry about your weaknesses or your battles or your imperfections. Go boldly into his presence because you are righteous and have a right to, because you have the nature in you. Go ahead, Laura.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all
is open if you'd like to come up for prayer. Laura will keep singing, and if you need to go, you can. If you need to come for prayer. Is there calling in the lost tonight? Yes, calling the lost tonight at 7 o'clock. And we love you. Go change the world. If you like prayer, please come on up and keep singing there, Laura, man.